Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It is a beautiful Friday down here in Sunshine, Florida. Hope the rest of our listeners are having an awesome day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, I'm absolutely blessed, also shaking together, running over. You know, just the fact that I get to be on the show with you every day and get to talk to all of our friends on the show, it's just a blessing to me. This is like a giant Facebook account that has a bunch of listeners. That's what it is. Like, everybody puts their stuff on Facebook. We put it on the Ted and Austin Brower Show, and it goes all over the world, so it's a blast. And guys, thank you. We've got so much feedback this week from Wednesday's show and Thursday's show. It means so much to us when you write us and tell us how much you enjoy the shows. And today, if you're on my personal email list, you got a picture today. And it says, and it's this person who's like in torment holding their temples. And it says, "You aren't sick. You're being poisoned." I'm going to repeat that. It says, "You aren't sick. You're being poisoned." And it's got a big picture of MSG, Prozac, aspartame, Zoloft, Xanax, all of this stuff, the medicines that you're taking, and saying, "You're not sick, you're just being poisoned." And the poison that you're getting is requiring you to take larger and larger and larger amounts of medicine because you're being poisoned by the other medicine. Because remember, these side effects are pretty bad. And some of these things have real high toxicity levels, especially to the liver, like Tylenol. Tylenol is a poison. You should never, ever put that in your body. So just stay away from certain foods and certain drugs. I mean, if you have to do something like that, use an aspirin. But guys, be careful with this aspirin every single day. This baby aspirin, that kind of stuff, they tell you to thin your blood. The reason they're giving that is to thin your blood so you don't have as much plaque development. The problem with that is that it's such a good blood thinner that it can actually cause wet macular degeneration and make your eyes start going fuzzy on you. I've seen that over and over and over again. You'd be better off take cod liver oil and vitamin E every day if you want to keep the blood thin. Also, I want to talk a little bit about the Cosby verdict. Now, Bill Cosby, I met him in Philadelphia. And I've told this story before. It was a couple of years ago in little detail, but I'm going to kind of go into it a little bit right now because he's been found guilty now. He's been found guilty of sexual assault, and he's probably going to be in jail for 20 or 30 years. I mean, he's 80 years old. To me, I would be shocked if he didn't flee the country. In fact, the prosecutor wanted him locked up immediately yesterday. They did not do that. They're going to let him stay out until sentencing. And quite frankly, I think that he will probably leave the country. I mean, he's got too much money. He's got hundreds of millions of dollars. He's been found guilty in sexual assault trial, and he basically lashes out at the DA, start calling him names and all kinds of other things because he's angry because his celebrity didn't allow him not to be put in jail. Now, the thing that's crazy about this is they're thanking the woman now who brought this up, saying that, you know, this serial rapist needs to be taken off the street. Well, of course, I doubt he's still a serial rapist at the age of 80 or whatever he is. But the sad part about it, there's a certain point where that kind of stuff. Are you laughing at me, Austin?
Yeah.
But the Montgomery County jury on Thursday found Bill Cosby guilty of drugging and assaulting Andrea Constant. I looked her up. She's not even pretty. Just forget that. A verdict that delivered the first celebrity conviction of the Me Too era, and the likely final blow of a career-ending scandal fueled by dozens of women who accused the entertainer of being a sexual predator. The decision, after 14 hours of jury deliberations and a second trial on the charge, stirred audible sobs of relief from some of the accusers in the packed Norristown courtroom. Now, guys, this is just the beginning of this. He'll be back in court over and over and over again now on civil charges, and, you know, until they strip him of his wealth while he's in prison, if he doesn't flee the country, or if he doesn't suddenly get suicided, or he commits suicide or whatever, I don't know. But I'm going to talk to you about this for just a second, take about 3 minutes of the show. Back in the 90s, he was a huge name, and they brought him in to speak for us at the success seminar. They paid him $100,000, I know it's hard for you guys to believe, for a 30-minute speech. And I'll never forget, he was so angry because they were supposed to pick him up at the train track in Philadelphia. He was going to take a train, believe it or not. They were sending a limo to his house to pick him up and take him to the seminar. He didn't want a limo coming into the neighborhood for who knows what reason. It's so weird. And he took a public transportation train into the city of Philadelphia. Now, you can imagine that. This is 20 years ago with Bill Cosby. He's a huge star 20 years ago. I mean, he's like 60 years old. He's huge. So what happens is the lady, her name was Lori, who was in the pickup, she was the liaison to the speakers, and she ended up getting the wrong track and not finding him and then trying to look for him and texting him. He got in the car and he was so angry. He told Lori, he said, and Lori's about 6 months pregnant. he started cussing, and he looked at her and he said, "You don't want your newborn baby to hear the language that I'm fixing to spew you. You need to get out of the car. You can walk, or you can take a taxi to the seminar, but you're going to hear what I'm fixing to say, or you can get out, and I don't care that you're pregnant." This is what he did to her. I mean, that's what he said. That's how big of a scum bucket this guy is. And I'll never forget, he was so angry when he got to the doggone seminar. He was just mad because, you know, he's Bill Cosby. And I remember they were, they had us in the ready room, and they had a separate ready room. They all the speakers had a ready room, and Bill Cosby had his own ready room right next to the speaker's ready room. And I'll never forget, I walk in there, and he was in our ready room. He wasn't in his own little private cell, little cubicle they had given him, which was probably a 15 by 15 room with curtains around it. Just was filled with all kinds of food. And he was in that big room with us. And I remember I had I have a metal briefcase, and I basically got it out, and I had my 35 millimeter camera with me. I thought, well, shoot, this guy's Bill Cosby. I'm gonna get a picture with Bill Cosby. And I opened up the briefcase, and I pulled my camera out, and he looked at me, and he goes, "What do you think you're gonna do?" Now remember, he's already been introduced to me as a fellow speaker. I'm like following him at the seminar. So I pull my camera out of the briefcase, and he goes, "What do you think you're gonna do with that camera?" And I looked at him and I said, "You know, Mr. Cosby, I've been a fan of yours like forever." And I said, "But you're in such a pissy pants mood today. I said, I was going to have a picture taken with you, but obviously you don't want any pictures taken. And obviously you want to be in a bad mood, and you're going to allow the mess up with the pickup to affect you all day. So I'm good. I'm just going to put my camera away." And he looked at me, and I'll never forget this. I was the first person that day who stood up to him, and he started laughing at me, like joking, like, "Wow, okay, you're giving it back to me." And he goes, "Sit down. Let's take some photographs." As the good Lord is my witness, guys. And Austin, you've seen the photographs. I mean, they're on my counter.
Yep.
You know, there they were. I'm not sure where they are now. And so they were in my office. And so I'm talking to him. Finally, Peter Lowe walks up and he goes, "How are you getting along with this guy?" Peter Lowe was the guy who was basically doing the seminars. He was the head guy. He goes, "How are you getting along with Cosby? He seems like he likes you." And I said, "Well, I'm just not going to put up with this crap, Peter." And he goes, "Well, can you do me a favor? Can you take care of him until he speaks? Nobody else wants to associate with him." This is what they said. And I'm like, why am I the babysitter for Bill Cosby now? Why am I required to take care of him? I said, "Look, Peter, if you're a friend of mine, I'll be more than happy to babysit Bill Cosby for you." So we sat there and we talked. And it was crazy that finally, and I kid you not, guys, he probably had a $10,000 suit on, probably a $3,000 tie. Yes, I didn't know this, but $3,000 ties do exist. I mean, I didn't know that. I know I found a TV evangelist one time who actually wears those. And so he had like a $3,000 tie on, $10,000 suit on, the best looking suit of clothes I've ever seen. Now, a lot of black guys, when they go to church, they get really dressed up. This was beyond that. This was like ridiculously a lot of money. I mean, incredibly, you know, expensive watch on, the whole bit. And he pulls out this stogie. I'll never forget this. Nobody's supposed to smoke it in here, but he yanks out a stogie. This thing was like 12 inches long. It was like a foot long cigar. I'm sure it was some big Cuban. And he pulls it out. He starts puffing away right in the middle of the seminar. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm actually developing a rapport with this weirdo. I'm just going to forget the cigar and just sit there and talk to him. And so finally he smokes this cigar. We're talking for a couple hours. And finally he sets the cigar down and he goes, "Now, when I get done speaking," because I'll go up and speak, he goes, "I don't want any souvenirs. I want this cigar left here and I don't want anybody touching it." And I looked at him. I said, "Look, Mr. Cosby, I am not babysitting the cigar." I said, "Somebody throw your cigar away, buddy. That's on you, not on me." And he said, all right, I got it." And I'll never forget, Austin, he went up on the platform and he read out of Rudyard Kipling's book, Gunga Din, about trench warfare in World War I with the blood and the guts and the horror of the war. And this is his 30-minute speech. The people were so depressed by the time he got done, they were like, "Boy, this guy sucks. I cannot believe we paid to hear Bill Cosby, and here he is talking about Gunga Din." We thought he was going to go up there and do a 30-minute stand-up comedy act. I mean, the people were like in tears, ready to fall down and, you know, commit suicide after they heard him speak. It was awful. And so then as soon as he gets done, he flies back to the speaker's room, grabs his cigar, and jumps in a limo, which is parked there behind the stage because it's like in a big arena, and off he goes. And I'm like myself, that was a really odd thing dealing with this guy. So when I started reading that he was doing this and he was raping these women and drugging these women, I was not surprised. Remember, back in the 60s and the 70s, he was a huge, basically, participant at the Playboy Mansion over in California. He's also been linked many times to the MK Ultra Monarch program. So this guy is high up there. Now, I don't know who in the world he hacked off at the Rothschild level or whatever he did as far as one of his handlers, because somebody gave that boy the nod back in the 50s and the 60s to become super successful, and he done ticked somebody off for them to come after him like this and put him on public spectacle. In fact, 2 years ago, in the middle of all this, I'll never forget this, he actually did an inverted triangle shape when he was talking on a national talk show, which means mercy, you know, to these whack bags. And he's like, please show mercy to me, leave me be. They decided to show him no mercy. Now, because of what he did to Lori, she came back to that seminar office and she was crying in tears. She was hysterical. And I mean, I walked over and gave her hugs. I'm so sorry. I asked if I could pray with her. Guys, this is who Bill Cosby is. So if you think this is some, you know, Mr. Huxtable, all that kind of stuff that he was on these TV sitcom shows, this guy is a hardcore nutbag. And now we see, find out he's a serial rapist on top of everything else. So I am not surprised with anything that happens to him or what he's done. So yes, I personally know him. Yes, personally dealt with him. And yes, I've personally seen a side of him that nobody ever needs to act like, period, ever, on the history of the planet. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it is sad. And the thing that a lot of people get, you know, fall away from is when they start becoming more popular and more successful, is they think that they don't have to be nice to anybody anymore. And the truth about it is, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, how, you know, cool you are, what your status is, you're not better than anybody else. You're still a human being. We're all made in the image of God Almighty. We're all the same level here. So, I mean, acting like that and treating people like that, all it does is make everybody honestly hate you. And everybody, you know, every time you leave, if they don't say it to your face, they just spit behind your back. Oh, gosh. Thank goodness he's gone. He's such a nightmare to be around. That's not a legacy or something you want to be remembered for. That's horrible, man. And, you know, but the sins of your past always end up coming up to bite you. And it looks like this actually came back to bite him now. And like you said, Dad, he definitely got the nod with how much success he got in the past. So there's no telling, though, who he hacked off with his attitude or how cocky he got with somebody. And they finally all right, you want to play this role, we'll let it go.
Well, you know what he might have done, Austin? And I'm speculating, this is my speculation, he may have raped the wrong person.
He may have raped
somebody's daughter. He may have raped somebody's daughter. Yeah. He may have raped somebody's wife. Okay, for them to drop hard, for them to let him get to almost $500 million in net worth and to drop kick him this hard, that boy done hacked somebody off. There's no way with that kind of money that any of this should have ever gone to trial. He should have pled it all out, paid out a bunch of money, and been done with this stuff. These are criminal charges on him right now. The Bible has something to say about this in Proverbs as far as wealth and success. And here's what the Word of God says. I'm going to paraphrase it. It says, as silver is tested in the crucible to determine its purity, and gold is tested in the furnace to determine its purity, a man is tested by the praise that he or she receives. In other words, so many of these TV evangelists and so many of these big movie stars, they start thinking that basically they can do anything they want to do, treat anybody any way they want to treat them, and not have any blowback from it, because they think that they're basically God's gift to creation. That's why the Word says that. That's why so many of these evangelists have come and gone up so high and fallen so hard, because they get very, very arrogant. Guys, I can tell you names of multiple TV evangelists who commit adultery on their wife, who are homosexuals, who are involved in drug running, who are involved in... I gotta stop. I've seen all of it. I've seen murder. I've seen so much of it. And guys, I'm telling you, I'm gonna say this again. I've been behind the scenes with a bunch of these boys and girls. And you need to give money to your local church. Don't be sending your tithe money if you're going to a local church to some TV evangelist. I promise you, they're never going to show up if you need a funeral priest or if you need somebody to pray with you. They'll send someone of their little liaisons that maybe somebody will call you, but I doubt very seriously you'll ever get somebody to preach your funeral. It's just, they don't do that. They put you into a funnel. And that funnel drops you through in the different categories. It's like the old change machines where you put a whole handful of nickels and pennies and quarters in, and they would drop it all down. They drop you down, and they designate you in terms of giving units. How much money you give determines how much response you're going to get from them, and that's what they do constantly. And then pretty soon they figure out if you don't give X amount of money, they pull you off their database. It's all scientifically designed to get the maximum response from you as a giving unit, which is what you're designated as. So guys, be really careful with these guys. And I'm not saying they're all like that. There's a lot of really good church pastors out there who have big churches, I mean huge churches, that are not like this. They are not like this. But the guys, the majority of these guys, especially some of the whack bags that you see out of some of the big TV networks, you just need to avoid them. A bunch of those guys are queer anyhow. I'm just letting you know. A bunch of the, if you want to read a really good book, yeah, I can't believe I'm on this topic today. If you want to really read a really good book, get the book Thieves by Trey Smith. Thieves, T-H-I-E-V-E-S. Thieves by Trey Smith. I'm not going to talk about the evangelist who's in there. He goes into detail on one of these TV evangelists and what an unbelievable lowlife he is. And guys, think about this. This book's been in print for years. This evangelist has never sued him for defamation, ever. Because this evangelist basically doesn't want this stuff to be publicized. So, guys, that's the kind of stuff you're dealing with behind the scenes. It's not what you think it is. A lot of these guys, all they care about is their lifestyle and how much money they get. They don't care about souls. Now, I'm not saying in the beginning they didn't care about souls, but a lot of these guys actually get into nonprofit organizations like this because they know they can make a lot of money and not pay much tax and have an incredible lifestyle. I've seen it over and over and over again. Support your local church. And I'm off this topic, Austin. So what do you want to talk about next?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely some crazy stuff, but also too, in pretty cool news, if this is actually legit, and it seems like it is, and this isn't some type of obfuscation, the leaders of North and South Korea today have now committed themselves to complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and pledged to bring a formal end to the Korean War 65 Good. Years after hostilities have ceased. So, this was a huge boiler room that's really calmed down now. Both of them have agreed to terms. They both have signed, and they look like they're both in unity now about this. I mean, they were shaking hands and hugging at this entire meeting, and like I said, I don't know. This possibly could be theater to do something else, but I don't think so. It seemed pretty legit, and if it is, it's good. You know, there's now we won't have another excuse to go attack another country right now, hopefully. So this is, though, interesting because this is happening now. Be sure to watch out what's going on in Syria and the Middle East, because if South Korea and North Korea are on good terms and North Korea is calming down with their rhetoric, then we're going to have to find a new boogeyman to focus all of our aggression on to keep the war on terror going now, Deb.
Well, we have to keep the war going. It's a useless war. It can't be won. That's why Bush declared it.
No.
Okay. Guys, remember who Bush is. Forget this. Skull and Bones. They got to get into a casket with another guy and do all kinds of, like, you know, weird stuff. I mean, it's what they got to do. I mean, this is some sick stuff. And then they get born and get out of the casket. I mean, into like a Lucifer's lair. I mean, these people are not like, you know, Southern Baptists. Okay, that's what they are. Okay, these are hardcore Luciferians. This is a hardcore death cult. This is Skull and Bones. Why is it called Skull and Bones? It's actually linked back to the pirate cult. I mean, it's not like Mary Had a Little Lamb cult. You know, this is Skull and Bones. This isn't like happy. This is like death cult stuff. So, and that's who these guys are. Both George Jr. and George Sr. You know, and then, you know, and they're saying that when George Sr. became so senile he couldn't run anymore, that Barbara Bush became one of the chief occultists in the United States, and now that she's dead, I don't know who's going to take over for that. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. That's speculation. I know these people, too. I know all these people. I mean, Austin's met these people. And so this is the craziest stuff that you ever talk about because, you know these people. You're kind of like, well, they didn't really try to kill anybody around me. But, you know, the point is, it's not what they do in public, but it's what they do in these dark, dark, dark seance things that they do all the time in the middle of all of this mess. Unbelievable. What's your next story, bud?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, also, too, it's ironic. I saw this article today, and I thought this was quite interesting how, you know, we demonize Syria and try to say he did this and he did that, right, and he's released chemical weapons and he's basically broken all of these, you know, as far as human rights issues, even though we have no evidence at all. Well, Saudi Arabia, the United States' main primary ally in the Middle East, has already executed 48 people this year, over half of them for nonviolent drug possession. They said many people convicted of drug crimes remain on death row following convictions by Saudi Arabia's notoriously unfair criminal justice system. The Saudi government has continued the practice of beheading, as they beheaded 157 people in 2015, the highest since 1995. Nonviolent drug offenders were among those killed as well that year. I said Human Rights Watch found that of the first 100 prisoners executed in 2015, 56 had been based on judicial discretion and not for crimes for which any Islamic law mandates a specific death penalty. So what they're saying here is 56 of the 100 prisoners first executed in 2015 did not break any law as far as with the Quran, with Islam, with anything. It was simply judicial discretion, meaning the judge said, hang him from the bridge, or better yet, cut his head off. I don't like him. He looked at me bad. I don't like what he's doing. Cut his head off. That's what they do over there. The Human Rights Watch also discussed the difficulty of obtaining an actually fair trial in Saudi Arabia, highlighting, among other issues, that there's a long-standing due process violations repeatedly in Saudi Arabia's criminal justice system that makes it difficult, if not impossible, for a defendant to get a fair trial, even in capital cases. But, man, imagine that. We haven't heard anything about this on CNN or Fox or any other mainstream news outlet. Why? Because we're allies with Saudi Arabia, and we let them do anything they want, and including we give them, I still haven't figured this out yet, we give them foreign aid. Yet, granted, it's only like $600,000 a year. That's still a lot of money, and they're literally one of the most wealthiest nations in the country when it comes to natural resources and their oil, and we still give them foreign aid, and they turn around and execute hundreds of people every year, many of which don't even break any type of Islamic law. It's simply the judge saying, hang him from the bridge, and they're saying here that it's one of the most difficult countries to actually get any type of fair trial whatsoever in. Yet, like I said, when is the last time you ever heard anybody in the mainstream media talk about Saudi Arabia or talk about any human rights violations in Saudi Arabia at all? Never. You never hear about it. And that's why I wanted to bring it up on our show here. It just shows you the complete and total hypocrisy, how we want to go get involved all of a sudden in Syria because they allegedly use some type of chlorine gas that we can't even prove. Yes, Saudi Arabia beheads hundreds of people a year for most crimes that are literally petty, like minor drug possession, and we don't even make a peep about it, Dad, here in the United States.
You know, it reminds me of two movies. Remember the old movie Officer and Gentleman back there with Richard Gere, way back in the wind, and he's got that drill sergeant, and he looks at the drill sergeant and he goes, you eyeballing me, boy. he's looking at him, you know, he's kind of got it, he's sharp, you know, he's flashing him, he's looking at him kind of mean, and he gets in his face, starts making him do push-ups and stuff. And then I remember the other movie with Rambo, that last one Sylvester Stallone did, that was over in Burma, and I remember they were prisoners, and he goes, whatever you do, don't look him in the eye. See, in different cultures, when you look people in the eye, you basically are saying, you know, I think I'm meaner, better, you know, or whatever than you are. And quite frankly, I don't think you're really worth, you know, being respectful towards. And when you do that in certain groups in certain countries, like Saudi Arabia, you eyeball the judge. Apparently, he just cut your head off, Austin. Apparently, he just said, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and whack your noggin off right now and be done with that and see how many times you can blink when I ask you questions and let ahead. That's what they're doing over there. Bunch of sickos. And see, the sad part about all this, Austin, is that you said it exactly right. Because of the petrodollar, because we're allies with them, because all currencies of the dollars coming out, all the oil being sold in Saudi Arabia has been bought in U.S. dollar, which has maintained the value of the dollar way past where it should have been maintained. We basically just tolerate it. We ignore them. You know, when more Saudis were involved in 9/11, if you want to believe the entire weird story with that, with 9/11 report, which that's a bunch of nonsense anyhow, you'd be better off to read Judy Wood's book, Dr. Judy Wood, Where Did the Towers Go? That asks a lot more questions, or watch the video, basically 9/11 mysteries, or, you know, watch of course the classic is Loose Change. You watch all of those movies, and if you still think the government is here to help you, you're not going to realize very quickly that they're not. By the way, here's something interesting happened in a North Carolina prison. A man who identifies as a woman is now suing the North Carolina prison for not accommodating his practice of witchcraft. This is just nuts. A male inmate who identifies as a woman has sued the Landsborough Correctional Institution in North Carolina for not accommodating his practice of Wicca, also known as pagan witchcraft. Dwayne Fox, who goes by the name of Jennifer Jasmine. I'm sorry, this isn't funny. But just the name, Jennifer Jasmine, it just, come on, man, really? You had a cool name, Dwayne Fox, that's pretty good. Now you're going to go by Jennifer Jasmine. alleges that the chaplains at the institution have violated his constitutional right to religious exercise, including his specific dietary needs. I don't know what he wants to do. Probably wants to get chicken heads or something. I don't know what's wrong with these people. People must have dropped them on their heads or something. Oh, by the way, also, there's a ritualistic burial site discovered. Hundreds of bodies of children, maybe the world's largest. This is roughly 500 years ago, and according to the researchers, 140 children and a whole bunch of other people fell victim to what appears to be ritualistic sacrifice in Peru. Now, this is Peru is the home to the famous sites like Machu Picchu. Now, I've been there, been to Machu Picchu, seen all that. Really, really great place to go. It was on my bucket list. One of the things I really, really wanted to do. And when I was there talking to the people who were giving the tours, the indigenous population that was there, that was basically saying, hey, we love Machu Picchu. And I said to them, well, you know, the reality is nobody really knows what happened to Machu Picchu. They probably killed all their people with their ritual sacrifice. And she goes, oh, no.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. They didn't do that. So I go up to their temple. I'm at the top of this temple. There's a big rock laying on top of the temple, right? And I said, what was this? She goes, that was a sacrificial altar. I looked at her. I started laughing. I said, what do you think they were sacrificing? I said, really? Well, we don't like to talk about that because it makes the tourists kind of unnerved, but probably a lot of blood sacrifice here. I said, well, that's the problem. Well, maybe that's what happened to Machu Picchu, why it just disappeared. You start killing all the children. You don't have any population left to continue after everybody else has passed childbearing age. You know, newsflash. Gosh, it's crazy. The site first made headlines in 2011 when the remains of all these children were found. It's right there really close to Machu Picchu. The remains of the children and animals reveal several unique factors that indicate that this was basically a ritualistic sacrifice. They had their bodies had been cut to the sternums and rib dislocations, which suggested that the victims' heart were removed and their bodies were torn apart while they were still alive. Guys, this stuff has been going on and on and on and on. Read the Old Testament. You'll get a crawfull through the Old Testament. God, to read about Baal passing their children through the fire, all the Wicca poles, all the weird wax stuff they used to do back then, all the shear poles, all the stuff they did. I mean, gosh, we've got a giant phallic symbol called the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., and you guys can look it up. You know, it measures like 666 feet to the peak if you include the doggone foundation. So, guys, it's one of those things that, you know, we got a lot of occult references and stuff involved, even in the United States, with the Masonic orders that were infiltrated, guys. It's very important that you understand this is not a joke. These things are real, and these weirdos actually do this and actually drink blood and kill people. This is something that Hillary Clinton, they accused her of many, many times in alternative media, and supposedly some video, don't download it, because it'll probably be some type of nasty stuff, some kind of criminal charges on it, of her and somebody else committing a ritualistic sacrifice. I have not watched it. I don't like seeing stuff like that. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, and I'm not promoting that anybody watches it. I'm just saying, guys, it's real, and the leaders of this planet who are in line with Lucifer, this is what they do, including children by the hundreds, whenever they feel as though they need to appease their whack-bag god they have. What do you think, Oz?
Well, yeah, and Mel Gibson did that film in 2006, Apocalypto, about the Mayans and the sacrifices they were doing. If anybody's ever seen it, it's a very rough film, so I don't recommend watching that unless you're really wanting to see what that was about. But that was a very, very realistic depiction of what those guys did back then. I mean, they had that giant monument that they're on top of up there. They have a line of people, literally, they're dragging up there and cutting their heads off. They're spraying blood everywhere. They throw the bodies down the stairs, let them bounce down the stairs, and there's literally a pile, I mean a giant pile of corpses at the bottom of this thing, and then finally the sun basically gets blotted out by the moon, and for a minute or whatever, and so they freak out and they think they've appeased the gods now, and they stop sacrificing people for a little bit. But yet there was some really, really weird stuff back then. His dad said, you keep sacrificing all the kids, you eventually run out of people to keep sacrificing, and everybody just kind of eventually dies. So that's an issue. Who knows what happened up there, Machu Picchu, but definitely that stuff was very prevalent back then. Also, to change topics, we talked at the beginning of this week how the prison industrial complex has exploded in this country over the last 15 to 20 years, especially with the war on. And now we see that the detainment centers, they're going to start running, the private prison industry is going to start running these detainment centers for illegals that come here, and they're not disclosing how long they're going to be here, how long they're going to be held for, nothing. But now, a new release came out that shows that the federal government paid a average bed rate of $127.82 per day per person to house each illegal alien detained by ICE in ICE in the in a fiscal year of 2016, according to the ICE data published by a new report by the Government Accountability Office. Even if you do not count the extra day in the leap year, that works out to $46,654 per year per person for each detention bed occupied by an illegal alien for 365 days. Now, the crazy part about that is that that's actually higher than the average income in the United States. So we are to a point where detaining illegals in this country for a year costs the United States taxpayer more than the average taxpayer makes the entire year. I don't even know how to put those together and make any sense of that, but this is the issue. The fact that we're paying on average $127 a day, I don't know what type of expenses these guys are allocating. This is the issue, though, with the private prison industry complex, because they literally have very little oversight. They're told, house these individuals, give us a cost, give us a number, this is what it is. They make a large amount of money, and this is how they continue to operate for years and years and years. So this is something that's promoted through that, and we're promoting it through our taxpayer dollars through the funding of ICE. But I just thought that was interesting today, that when I saw that, how we continue to see why it's so profitable for the private prison industry.
Well, it'd probably be easier just to pay them $20,000 a person, never make them work. It'd be cheaper, cost half as much money.
There you go.
I mean, just think about how whacked out that reasoning is. I mean, let's just go ahead and pay them $20,000 a year. It'll cost us half as much, and just let them at least pretend like they're doing something. Maybe they can get a job on the side and try to maintain some productivity. Again, collaborative pivot. Broward Deputy Union.
Yep.
By the way, I'm really pleased with Broward Deputy Union. Has voted no confidence in the low-life sheriff Israel, who basically helped facilitate the Parkland shooting by ordering a stand-down on the officers who were involved in supposedly trying to stop what I consider to be a Mossad or a black ops by some other secret society or secret organization or mercenary group, who knows, into this school. Now, he's gotten a no confidence vote now in, from the other sheriff from all the other unions. So hopefully this guy, this Hillary Clinton bosom buddy, I'm going to stop. I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. Doesn't get reelected. Austin, what do you think?
I can't stand this guy. He's bad news from the beginning. I've heard numerous things about him even before the Parkland shooting that I was not a fan of whatsoever. And even the president of the Broward Sheriff Office Deputies Association said, and I quote, he said, he fails to listen to the people and he fails to listen to leadership. Amazing leadership starts from the top, and there is no amazing leadership here. We are a ship out at sea with no power adrift. And so these guys voted.
Wow.
Now, right now, it's basically simply a show. Nothing can really be done yet as far as with the union vote on here. But apparently it's supposed to go up to another step now. They even said what's even more revealing is that in the aftermath of the shooting, with numerous issues exposing inside Israel's department, including the fact that the officers are giving a stand-down order that nobody wants to talk about, the sheriff has been more focused on repairing his own image. He said that a non-profit group headed by his campaign manager was formed to raise money so it could hire crisis management firm to prop up Israel's flagging public image. His priority has not been on the problem in his own department, evidenced by the union voting to express concern within its body. So basically what's going on now is they're going to see if they can start pushing to get a new sheriff as far as to run against him in the election and get this complete and total lowlife out of office. But there was something going going on behind this whole shooting. We've already told you guys that in detail, even from the one interview from the teacher that said, why are the police in the school shooting at students? He was carrying a rifle that I've never seen before. An iconic AR-15 is a pretty hard rifle to say you've never seen before. However, if they were carrying a 5.56 Tavor, which is what the Israeli battle rifle is, which is a bullpup, the goofy-looking gun, that would make a lot more sense. But there was a whole other reason why those sheriffs were issued a stand-down order and told not to go in the building. And this idiot sheriff who's supposed to be there to protect and serve got on national television. This is where I really realized what a total sack of poo this guy was, a real sack of poo, is he got on that CNN, the first thing they had, the town hall CNN thing, and he got on there, and he blamed the NRA, overtly blamed them repeatedly for the deaths of the children, blamed gun owners, blamed anybody that supported the NRA, blamed anybody else but himself, when everybody ended up finding out just a few days later that the sheriff's department had a stand-down order and were told not to go in the building. And on top of that, the EMT first responders that got there were also told they could not enter the building because the site was not cleared. And they responded, said, well, then let's clear the scene so we can get in and do triage. And they said, we don't have approval for that yet. If you go in there, we're basically going to arrest you. And they said, okay, we don't even need approval. We're first responders. You guys just get out of our way and we're going to go in there. And they said, no, if you do that, you're impeding the law enforcement scene and we will arrest you. They were going to arrest first responders for wanting to go into the school unarmed with an unclear building just so they could go in and start applying medic treatment and triaging the students, and they were told no. That right there should tell anybody that has a brain in their head that there was something else going on at that school that was not supposed to be found out. And it's sad, but this guy, in my opinion, was 100% about it, behind it. All the stuff we've seen in the past with him and the stuff currently, I really, really hope they can get this guy out of office, Deb.
I'm not going to talk about him because I'm just going to get mad, and I don't want to get mad. I'm on with Hagman tonight, so I got to save a little bit.
Yeah,
I've already told you how I feel about this guy. By the way, the drugging of American seniors. Big pharma profits depend on sick seniors. Now, stay with me for a second on this. This article by Fasca. As the baby boomer generations move into their senior years, they are seen as cash cows for the pharmaceutical satanic corporations. I added the satanic part. For example, it is estimated that about one out of every four Americans over the age of 55 are currently being prescribed cholesterol-lowering statin drugs, which have very serious side effects. They don't prolong lifespans, and they cause like a bunch of different diseases. Studies have confirmed that dementia, especially early onset dementia, is often caused by too many pharmaceutical drugs. Saw it with my own mom. Medications are common culprits in mental decline. With aging, the liver becomes less efficient at metabolizing drugs. There you go, can't get them out of your system. And the kidneys eliminate them from the body more slowly. As a result, drugs tend to accumulate in the body. Elderly people in poor health and those taking several different medications are especially vulnerable. A list of drugs that can cause dementia-like symptoms include antidepressants, antihistamines, anti-Parkinson drugs, anti-anxiety medications, cardiovascular drugs like statins, anticonvulsants, corticosteroids, narcotics, and sedatives. As people age, they wind up taking an average more than 4 prescribed pharmaceutical drugs daily. At the age of 60 right now, I think 37% of the population takes 5 or more prescription drugs a day. Many of these medications are for heart disease, prevented by lowering cholesterol, they say, and or for lowering blood pressure. Okay, guys, these drugs are intended to be on until you're dead, until you die and you're in your casket. Guys, there are all kinds of natural ways you can lower cholesterol. Plus, you don't want it under 200 anyhow. And there's all kinds of natural ways you can lower blood pressure. That's super easy to do with HGH stimulate and a little mini round trampoline and magnesium brain food. Side effects of these drugs alone can create the need for more prescriptions. In other words, one drug treats another drug, treats another drug, cover up the symptoms. The pharmaceutical business model depends on sick customers staying sick, not healing them. We saw that a couple of weeks ago when Goldman Sachs said they don't want to cure hepatitis because there's too much money in treating them long term. Alzheimer's disease is seen by some as mostly a modern disease, mainly because too many prescription drugs and too much exposure to aluminum in the environment, including the annual flu shot, which contains aluminum and is heavily promoted to seniors and also contains thimerosal or mercury. Expanding prescription guidelines to get more healthy people on drugs. We see this with the blood pressure. We've seen it with cholesterol. Unknown to many consumers and doctors in this insidious industry is a strategy of expanding the market by creating wider clinical guideline parameters for prescribing drugs to prevent heart disease, high blood pressure, and diabetes. The corruption lies within the committees that decide the new guidelines. Most of their members, get this, are financially connected to the pharmaceutical corporations that are promoting the drugs, so they get paid more money if they sell more drugs and they change those parameters. Three types of drugs that affect the growing community of Canadian citizens, and this is what's happened in recent years. Number one, cholesterol-lowering statin drugs. Guys, this is, I mean, I'm not going to talk about it. It's too much. Drugs for reducing high blood pressure. This is, again, the retirement group. And the FDA's true role is protecting the pharmaceutical, medical industry, Sabbatean Kabbalah's, synagogue of Satan's industry's medical monopoly. That is a fact. Guys, it's so easy to use natural protocols to take care of almost every single condition that you have. Medicine is used primarily, as far as I'm concerned, for trauma care. If a person gets into an automobile accident and they're cut or they've been lacerated, they've got to be stitched up, that's one thing. You have to have an emergency room. Okay, if you have to have heart surgery for some reason because of some congenital heart defect, that's what you go for. But all of these treatment protocols that are being used to maintain sickness in someone, to treat symptoms and never correct the condition, as far as I'm concerned, it's all Luciferian-based. That's how I believe about it. What do you think, Austin?
I think you're very accurate about that, and they've done an incredibly good job at brainwashing the American population into believing that you have to have a drug to fix a issue, instead of actually looking at the natural sources that we have already given to us by God, whether it be through supplements, whether it be through plants, whether it be through proper nutrients, whether it be through herbs, whatever it is, that we have majority of this stuff already available to us, and as we discussed yesterday in detail, that we already have a list of dietary guidelines that God laid out for us that are the most efficient, effective way to eat to stay as healthy as physically possible. As of yesterday, was a great show. If you guys didn't hear it yet and you want to know more on dietary guidelines, that was a fantastic show that explained it in detail. And that's what everybody has to start getting back to, is the basics, the root of this, is what you put in your body, you're going to get out of your body. If you flood your body with toxic GMOs, with soda, with sugar, with aspirin, with fluoridated water, with a boatload of pharmaceutical drugs every single day, you're going to get about as much as you put in it, which is going to be nothing except horrible, horrible side effects. That's what people have to start understanding, and that this has all been done, I mean, purposely, through the pharmaceutical company, through the vaccine company, through the medical industry complex, to make people as sick as possible and then keep them on these lifelong protocols and drugs. As I talked about 2 weeks ago, Goldman Sachs even wrote a review, essentially, on the aspect of, is it profitable to make drugs that actually cure people? Is it long-term financially feasible to actually cure hepatitis to see, or should we make a drug that essentially keeps you alive long enough to make our return off of you and make a larger profit off of you and then allow you to die instead of actually curing it? You can go back and listen to that show with Goldman Sachs. They wrote this. They can't be any more blatant than that as far as what their stated goal is. They don't even hide what their goal is anymore. They're blatantly obvious about what they want to do is keep people on the medical bills, keep people on the prescription list so they can continue to rake in hundreds upon hundreds of billion dollars a year just in pharmaceuticals. That doesn't even take into account the cost of the medical bills, the cost of the doctors, the cost of all the other treatments they have. In the United States now, we spent, $560 billion in pharmaceuticals just last year alone. Just pharmaceuticals. That is an insane amount of money, Dad, just the drugs.
But also think about this, $560 billion in pharmaceuticals, $1.5 trillion in heroin.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, think through that for a second. That's how much money this heroin's, and that was at 4,800 metric tons. I mean, we're at 10,000 metric tons now. I mean, I doubt it'll double in value because it's going to have more exposure, there'll be more product on the street, so it'll probably drop down some. It'll probably go from 1.5 trillion to 2.5 trillion because remember, people that are heroin addicts, to them, they have an inelastic demand curve. They have to have their heroin. They'll pay anything for it and they'll do anything for it, which is the sad part with the drug addict. By the way, a couple of years ago, one of Germany's top broadcasters got on national TV and told everybody that the CIA ran the media in Germany. And, of course, he was suicided a couple of years later. He found dead. Now, Germany's largest public TV news broadcaster is saying that the Syrian chemical attack is most likely staged. This guy needs to watch his back. A senior correspondent from German state broadcast ZFF Heute stunned his European audience during a report from the ground in Syria where he gave a straightforward and honest account of his findings while investigating what happened in Duma. The veteran reporter, Yuli Gock, said he interviewed multiple eyewitnesses of the April 7th alleged chemical attack and concluded from the testimonials that this was staged. And many people are very convinced. So now he's going to be basically watching his back. We'll see how long he stays alive. Guys, when you get on national TV like this with these big audiences, see, and that's the thing. That's the whole thing. If you get up to the point where you're reaching 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 million, 100 million people a week, and you start telling them the truth, you start breaking that veil off around them. You start messing up with all these weird satanic chants and spells they're throwing on people because people are waking up. It's kind of like, you know, you're laying in bed and someone says to you in your ear, there's nobody standing here with a knife by your throat. And you're like, okay, who's telling me this? You know, I mean, why am I hearing this? This isn't cool right now. I don't like this at all. And suddenly you reach for your Glock or you reach for your 12 gauge and you quickly cover your throat and you start shooting at whatever shadows you see, hoping and praying that it's not somebody you don't want to shoot because you're hearing all these weird things. They got these things called the voice of God. They can actually put cranial voices in your head. Guys, this is some crazy stuff that's involved with these guys. And quite frankly, these guys, when they get real big like this, they have millions of listeners, and they're talking all over Germany on their public broadcast network, and they're highly respected. They carry a lot of weight and a lot of clout. This would be like that gay guy, whatever his name is, I forgot his name, on CNN. If he gets up there and he goes, you know, by the way, I've been lying to you guys. I'm a CIA asset. Cooper, Anderson Cooper. I'm a CIA asset. And, you know, I've been part of this program for a while now. They tell me what to say. And, you know, and quite frankly, you know, you guys are all being played. I mean, this whole thing's ridiculous. And you know, this whole thing's a scam. And you guys are going to be played even more if you don't wake up. Because, guys, this is not what you think it is. We are not in Kansas anymore. This is a serious mess we've got in the United States. And they're going to go, uh-oh. That's the problem with a live microphone. That's the problem with a live microphone. That's why when you give somebody the chance to get on your show and you're not around to try to control the mic, they can pretty much say whatever you want to say. That's why you got to be so careful. You've been in churches before, guys, where they have, okay, testimonial time. If you're in a Baptist church, you've been here already, you heard all this. And also the pastor will hold the microphone for somebody if they're a good pastor, but they won't let the person take the microphone. Because once they take the microphone and say, if they start running around screaming things that are really crazy, you have a hard time. No, I've seen it, Austin. I've seen it. You have a hard time getting the microphone back, you know? So that's the problem. When you give a person a live mic, you know, on national TV or national radio. This is why they yanked me off the air back 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. They started pulling me off and not letting me be on the show because I didn't care. I was as candid and as direct as I am on this show on all these huge regional broadcast groups that I was in and these syndicated shows. And we were making a difference, huge difference. Suddenly, my mic got pulled because, guys, I was talking to them everything about the aspartame, the fluoride. I was telling them everything in conventions of up to 40,000 people and millions of people listening on radio. And suddenly it was like, I didn't get my phone calls returned anymore. Why? Because someone up above them said, hey, get this Ted Brower guy off. Get all these alternative health people off. We don't want them competing with our drug advertisers and basically saying things they should not say, which will affect the sales of these people that are spending billions of dollars with us every single year in marketing their poisonous, toxic products. Because remember, in a lot of cases, you're not sick. You're being poisoned by the food that you eat and by the drugs that you're taking, Austin. What do you think?
That's very well said. And I mean, most people have pretty much already come to realize, if you've listened to this show and you've done your research, I mean, the mainstream media pretty much is the CIA. I mean, the whole aspect with Cooper, I mean, people already know, it's common knowledge that, I mean, when he was at Yale, yes, Yale, that he interned with the CIA numerous summers, and then supposedly decided not to take a job with the CIA, and in turn went with CNN, which, I mean, that's how CIA operatives work. They don't tell you they're spies. They don't come out and say, oh, by the way, yes, I got recruited by the CIA. I am a legit CIA spy now, and I'm actually going to work with the mainstream media as a spy, covertly finding things out and then telling you disinformation. So I just want to let you guys know that before I do it. They don't do that. Come on, guys. I mean, this is what we've been lied to, the whole thing about the mainstream media and what they put out. I mean, it's all lies and obfuscation to keep the masses asleep and dull. And so I told you the other day, does anybody ever think it's coincidence why the largest marketing contributors to every single mainstream media outlet is the big pharmaceutical companies, the largest by billions? I mean, they contribute more money than like every other marketing company combined to the top media agents. So when you start looking this stuff up and you're going, okay, there's a reason why even Fox won't talk about pharmaceuticals. There's a reason why nobody wants to link all these different drugs to the pharmaceuticals and to the deaths and the shootings. There's a reason why the mainstream media never talks about Operation Mockingbird when the CIA had a long-standing relationship with the corporate media. They never talk about any of this stuff. They never bring any of it up. They always just tell you whatever you need to know. And one thing I did find interesting, you're talking about a second ago, Deb, is people coming out and, you know, breaking their programming. Kanye West, I don't know what's going on with him lately, but he's got a bone to pick with everything in the media right now. And, you know, remember a year and a half ago, you know, he got on stage at like 70,000 people at his arena, sold out concert, stops his concert in the middle of it, and goes on a rant for 45 minutes about basically the Illuminati and how they control the media and how they do what they want you to do, and they put who they want on the music, who they put on the radio. If you don't do what they tell you to do, you don't become famous. 2 days later, he got involuntary Baker acted, and then comes out like, okay, I'm good again. Now he's breaking back out again. He supported Trump. He's blatantly coming out now with all this stuff as far as with the Black Lives Matter lies and everything else the media's been doing. He's been saying the opposite. So he's another one. He really, really, really needs to watch his back, because rarely, most cases from the research that I've done, rarely do these guys get to the top ranking levels of the music industry without having some dirt behind them, because the globalists, the Illuminati, all these guys, whoever you want to refer to them as, they don't let these guys get into power unless they have some type of control on them, for this exact reason. They don't want them waking up, and they don't want them shouting from the rooftops what they know, and everybody else starting to wake up, because a lot of people are going, well, Kanye West, you know, I like Kanye West. Oh, so do I. Well, what is he saying? It's true. We need to look this up. I've never been a huge fan of him. I never really liked his music. I don't even know as much about him. However, he's gotten awake, and he's starting to figure out what's going on, and he's repeatedly calling these guys out, Dad, which I think is almost humorous, because the more and more people that we wake up and this starts happening, we can actually spur some change, especially with these people that have, you know, millions of followers on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff. They have a platform that's a lot bigger than most people, and they can make changes real fast when they start waking up.
We've reached the tipping point, Austin. Tipping point in the country is 10% or above. And that's why the media is scared right now. That's why the globalists are scared. That's why these Luciferian whack bags are scared, because all of a sudden they're like, wait a minute, there's a lot more of them than there are us. See, I mean, if you say there's a few million of these nutbags in the country, well, there's 360 million of us. I mean, there's a lot more of us. I mean, there's really nothing they can do if we decide that we don't want to play the little game anymore, and we start saying, hey, I don't believe you anymore. I think you're a liar. How about that? How about I think you're a weirdo? How about that? I think you like little boys? How about you're a sicko, you pervert? How about we say that to you? And see, when you start doing that to them, they don't know what to do, because suddenly, all of a sudden, their little mind control games, their little Jedi mind control stuff they like to do, it's not working for them anymore. See, that's what they're scared of. They're scared the population of the country is going to reach a tipping point. We saw it with Donald Trump's election. You know, if Donald Trump had come forward with us in the very beginning said, okay, I'm president now. I want you to know something. I've done some really crappy stuff in my life. And they're going to use this stuff against me. So whenever they start to talk about this stuff and they're going to threaten me with it, I'm going to tell you what I did before they can do it. Because that way they're not going to do this, all this blackmail nonsense to me. And we're going to make America great again. And we're going to do it because I'm going to go ahead and take the hit. If this means I'm going to ruin my career after I'm a president, it doesn't make any difference. I'll be 74, 78 years old when I get out. Who cares? Whatever. Don't care. But I'm going to stand for what righteousness is. I'm going to stand for the truth. And I'm going to tell you guys, if I've screwed up, if I slept with a whore, okay, and they're going to use it against me, I'm going to tell you I slept with a whore. You know? See, that's the thing that Trump should have done. And everybody in this country would have loved him even more, Austin, because he was going to make American great again, and he was going to drain the swamp. But guys, you know, you can't put swamp creatures back in the swamp and say you're draining the swamp. It just doesn't work that way. So Trump is being managed right now, though he's a little bit unruly, and every once in a while he gets to do something he doesn't, that he wants to do, that he knows is best for the people. But guys, just let him keep working him and working him and working him after 6 or 7 or 8 years. He'll be just like the rest of them if he doesn't stand and make a stand. Because guys, he simply doesn't want people to know what he's been involved with his entire life and the things he's, because guys, these guys are controlled. There's, like I said, he's a billionaire, was a billionaire, maybe a billionaire still. I don't know what he is. I don't know what his debt is. But the whole thing is this, guys. You got to get the nod to get to that level. It's like Bill Cosby. What was his net worth? $500 million at one time? I mean, somebody gave that boy the nod, and he hacked somebody off, or they wouldn't be taking him down like this. Guys, it's so important that you understand that all of these people at this level have been given the nod by somebody up. I could tell you, gosh, I got to be so careful what I say. I know of a TV evangelist who was given the nod by a known Satanist in Hollywood to make him where he is. Now, the TV evangelist at this point has fallen from grace because his lifestyle, too many people found out about him. But he was given the nod by this Satan group. And this one guy, if I told you he was a Satanist, you'd flip out. He was on a talk show and on a game show for years and years and years, hardcore Luciferian. And the thing about it is that he gave this evangelist the nod when he heard him speak one time and brought him up to where he was. Guys, this is what happens when you get that nod. You get to go up. They don't like giving nod to the people that are telling the truth. Think through this. The alternative media. Uh-oh. Guys, sorry. Love you guys. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Austin, I'm sorry I kept going too long. I appreciate you guys. Go ahead and close, Austin.
I got it, bud. We appreciate it, guys. If you need anything, healthmasters.com. Chelation therapy is on sale right now on the website. Lots of other specials and promos. We're going to go get ready for the Hagmann Show. We'll talk to you guys tonight. After that, you have a blessed, awesome weekend, and we'll be back on the show Monday as always. Talk to you guys later.